Welcome again to God's Word for God's World. Well, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you listening, as always. Today we're continuing our series of studies from the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament. I do hope you're enjoying this series so far. As always, we're praying that as God speaks to your heart through His Word this morning, that He'll be challenging you and equipping you to live the life that He wants you to be living. So let's have a listen now to God's Word.
Today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
And now it's over to Stephen Taylor to teach us from God's Word.
I was born and raised in a time when middle names were incredibly boring. My middle name is John. My two brothers' middle names are James and Charles. My sister's middle name is Catherine. All very English, all very staid, all quite boring. But today's middle names are anything but boring. Flicking through potential middle names, I came across Badger, Caspian, Danger, Maverick, Orion, Zeus, Rainbow, Blossom, Magenta, Taylor. And the ultimate boring middle name is The, don't you think? As in William the Conqueror, James the Just, Edward the Confessor, Robert the Red, Billy the Kid, Bob the Builder. Today in 1 Peter, we're being introduced to God's special building project. God has chosen strangers from all around the world. He's made them into His family, and through them He's building a spiritual temple, a church, a physical representation of God here on earth. It's really quite breathtaking what God is doing. And it involves three persons, each who have the middle name The. God the Builder, Jesus the Cornerstone, and us the Living Stones. Verse 4. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God is not just the Creator, the Sustainer, the Judge, the Redeemer, the Saviour. He's also the Builder. Not a builder, one of many builders, He is the Builder. The one who is building a spiritual house, a temple, a place where spiritual sacrifices will be made. In the Old Testament, God instructed Solomon to build the temple, a place where God and mankind would meet, a temple where the priests would offer up blood sacrifices, fellowship offerings, rites of purification in such a way that unholy people could actually come into the presence of God and have their sins washed away. But that was just for the Jews, the people of God. Now people scattered all around modern-day Turkey, who were strangers in a strange land, both Jew and Gentiles, were part of God's most amazing building project ever, the church. God the Builder. Peter in chapter 2 is taking us to a building site. He's giving us all hard hats and high-vis vests, and he's showing us what God is building in the world. And at the very heart and center of God's plan for His world, He is building not a dead temple, but a living church, a place where God Himself will live and is currently living. This is an important concept to grasp. God does not dwell in Israel or in Mecca. You don't get a greater grasp of His presence at St. Peter's in the Vatican City or at a Buddhist temple in Thailand or even in a Presbyterian church. The church is where God lives. God the Builder is building the people of God into a spiritual house where we have access to him 24/7. So there is no need for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. There's no need for massive cathedrals that point others to God. There is actually no need for us to have a building at all to worship in. The church is at the very center of what God is doing in this world. And the foundation that the church is being built on is the living stone of Jesus Christ, rejected by humans, scoffed at, ridiculed, crucified and buried, but chosen by God and precious to him. So God's first act as a builder is to lay Christ as the cornerstone of his special building project. And this is important for us to grasp today. For if we want to build something for ourselves that will last and be valuable and precious in itself, we cannot afford to have any other foundation to our building than Jesus Christ. So often we place work as the foundation of our lives, or money or family or holidays as the cornerstone in our lives. And COVID-19 has blown many of these foundations away. They weren't as secure as we thought they were. So Peter is telling us in chapter 2 that when God wants his building to be completely secure, he places Jesus Christ as his chosen and precious stone. I could do well to meditate on that fact, as you would also. For when the rain comes down and the floods come up, if we haven't built our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, we in turn will be found at sea, lost, drowning, without a foundation to live on. God the Builder leads us secondly to Christ, the cornerstone. Verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. If God is building something that will last for all eternity, the most important stone of them all, Peter says, is the cornerstone. In the days before laser levels and range finders, CAD and other high-tech gadgetry, there was a simple way of getting your building built right. You dug your foundation, you chose a cornerstone as your starting point. It was perfectly leveled and precisely aligned. It became the basis for every other measurement and alignment. So when God builds the basis for everything, he's building upon Jesus Christ, who's not a dead rock, but a living stone. Not because he was at one time a living person, but because after the crucifixion was the resurrection. And the church that was formed from that point on is based on the life, the death, the resurrection, and the coming living Lord of life. The Old Testament temple was made of stones quarried from the rock. But what God is building is better than that. It's based on the person and work of the living Lord Jesus. And Peter says we can trust this cornerstone. He who trusts in him will never be put to shame. He who relies on him will never see their building crumble. He who builds their life on the rock will never see it washed away. For he is God's chosen foundation. He is precious in God's sight because he perfectly fits the bill. All other stones do not fit God's master plan. All other rocks would not be able to bear the weight of such a massive building project. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. The rock, if placed in the right spot, is a perfect cornerstone, an ideal item to build your life upon. But if you don't put it in the right spot, it will continually get in the way. It'll be a stumbling block, and it will trip you up on the last day. Now, many of the Jews in Jesus' time did exactly that. They rejected the stone that has become the capstone. They stumbled and they missed out on joining in the amazing things that God was doing in their midst. And today's no different. So many Australians are blind to the ways of God, and they stumble over Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just lead them to a fall or a couple of bruises, but the fall, unfortunately, takes them right down to the depths of hell. Jesus must be the cornerstone of our lives or nothing at all. He must be the center of all we do, or he will cause us to fall or stumble. So that is why when God's special building project is being constructed, God the Builder places Christ the cornerstone as the foundation of all that he is doing, and then to that secure foundation he adds us, the living stones. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God's temple, His special building project, grows and develops and takes shape when He takes living stones like you and me, and He connects them to Jesus, and He connects them to each other. So the first thing we have to do is to come to Him, the living stone. We've got to come to Jesus. What does Peter mean by this? Does he mean come to church on a church building on a Sunday? Peter says it means come to Jesus believing. Come to Jesus by faith. And not just once. The verb in the original Greek means keep coming. Keep coming to Jesus. Every time you come to Jesus, there's something more to gain, something more to trust in and to build your life on. You never can drink the well of His grace and glory dry. You can never ask more of Him than He can give. You can never hurt more than He can heal. You can never sin more than He can redeem. You don't outgrow Jesus. You don't move past Jesus. The Christian life is one of continually coming to Him, resting on Him, rejoicing in Him. Come to Jesus and come together. You are not just a rock lying around on a field or a brick hanging around on a building site. It's not all about you. Collectively, we're part of God's great building project. We are to come to Jesus, yes, for sure, but we need to come together, for we're stronger together. We're being built together. There is no such thing as a lone ranger Christian. We need each other, and God will grow His church when your living stone is joined to my living stone, and both of us rely upon the cornerstone, the living stone of Jesus Christ. There's a story about a king of Sparta in ancient Greece who's boasting to a visiting king about the mighty walls of Sparta. But the guest looked around and didn't see any walls. So he said, "I'd like to see those walls. Show them to me." And the Sparta ruler pointed with great pride to his well-trained troops, part of Sparta's mighty army, and exclaimed, "There they are. These are the walls of Sparta." Now, just as each Spartan soldier was viewed by the king as a brick in his mighty wall, so we're viewed by God as living stones built up into a spiritual house. One spiritual house, not many spiritual houses. One church, not many churches. One body of believers, not many denominations. There is a unity of God's people that is bigger than just our church. No, we belong to the worldwide church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Today, the church is scattered throughout the world, and many of us can't even be in the same room as each other because of social distancing. But the reality is there are hundreds of millions of places where God's church is meeting this morning, all over the world. But we're still one. We are one, but we are many, as the song goes. And God the Builder, who is taking each living stone so that collectively He is building a spiritual house, His spiritual house, our spiritual home. And we're part of that because God chose us. In the same way He chose Jesus to be the cornerstone, He chose us not because we are choice people or people that He desperately needed for His building project, but He chose us because He loves us. Our value is not based on who we are, but on the fact that we have been saved from our old way of life by the precious blood of Jesus. Look with me just how special we are. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Wow! Each of these titles that were originally given to the people of Israel are now given to Peter's readers who are scattered around the back box of modern-day Turkey. And as we read this letter, they're given also to us. A chosen people, God says. You belong to me. You can't say, "I'm a nobody. I don't fit in anywhere." No, you belong to me. You fit perfectly into God's purposes. For you are a royal priesthood. God's chosen people are kings and queens. They have royal blood pulsing through their veins, for in their ancestry they have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's chosen people are priests. Their job is now to offer spiritual sacrifices in the same way that the ancient priests used to bring sacrifices into the very presence of God. But there's no need to bring sin offerings to God because our high priest Jesus brought the perfect blood sacrifice once and for all to His Father God when He Himself died on the cross. But we can still bring fellowship offerings and thanksgiving offerings and peace offerings into God's presence. And the rest of the New Testament picks up this theme. And so Romans 12:1 says we offer the sacrifice of our bodies as our spiritual act of worship. Hebrews 13:15 says we continually offer the sacrifice of praise. For when we confess the name of Jesus, when we praise him, something greatly pleases our God. Revelations 8:4 says we offer the sacrifice of our prayers, for the prayer of the saints is like the incense in the temple, something that sweet smell going into the very nostrils of God. Hebrews 13:16 says we offer the sacrifice of good works, for our worship is not just our voices, it's got to be our whole being. Philippians 4:18 says we offer the sacrifice of our money, as our money can be used to help grow the work of God in our world and help grow the kingdom. And Romans 15:16 says we offer the sacrifice of bringing people to Christ so that through our weak and feeble words, there can be more praise given to God, more good works done in God's name, more prayers offered in God's building as it continues to grow. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We have now found a place to belong. We're not just Australians, we are Christians. We're part of the greatest nation on earth, the Christian nation, that has more members than any other nation and whose heritage stretched back to the beginning of time and will last until the end of time. And lastly, we are God's special possession. He has us in our hands. He will never let us go. So all the blessings that were promised to God's people in the Old Testament find their fulfillment in us, in the church, because of the work of Jesus. So is the church perfect? No. But does God have a plan to purify the church? Yes. And does God have another plan by which to make his glory in Jesus known to this world? No. We are it. There's no plan B. Those who have been given these tremendous privileges have the responsibility to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we need to get going. We need to be wholly committed to God's special building project. We need to respond with praise, delight, and joy because of what he has done for us, what he is doing in us, and what he promises to do for us. We no longer stumble around wondering what our task in life is all about. It's to be part of God's building project. It's to build our life on the rock of Jesus. It's to offer spiritual sacrifices of praise, prayer, worship, good works, and be involved in the work of evangelism so that others will also be involved in these tasks of praise, prayer, and good works. We're to play our part helping God to build his church. A number of years ago at a Sunday school, the teacher asked her class to build the church with their hands. You know, put your hands together. Here is the church. Here is the steeple, she began. And suddenly she was aware she'd done something really embarrassing. For one of her children only had one hand. And he's looking rather awkwardly at her, wondering what to do. The teacher paused, not knowing what to say, when the little girl seated next to the boy with one hand held hers up and said, "Here, let's build the church together." Friends, our task is to build the church together with the blueprint that God the Builder has given us, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And so together as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, let us as living stones declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, I want to praise you this morning because you've been good to us and you're doing something in us as individuals in this church. Build your church. Build your work so that the praises of God might go to every person throughout the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was wonderful to have you with us. And we'd love to hear from you at any time, so please do get in touch with us through our website at charlestownpresbyterian.org.au. While you're there, you can get some details on the services that we're live streaming on Sundays as well. Well, have a great Sunday, and please join us again same time next week. Until then, have a terrific week ahead, and bye for now.